Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm Richard Rutledge, and joining me in studio today is Clint Tidwell, and we're glad that you have taken the opportunity to be with us as we study through the New Testament in 2016. Lord willing, we'll continue our study, and we'll be in Colossians chapter 3 in just a bit. Remember, if you got behind on your quest to complete studying through the New Testament this year, all you have to do is go to the on-demand section, find us there, Mornings for the Master icon, click on it, and then from there you can select those chapters you may have missed, and then we'll be here when you get back. We'll start off, as we normally do, Clint, with looking at the bulletin board of upcoming events that are going on, and I have one here for a gospel meeting. The goodness of the gospel is the theme, a gospel meeting with Omari French. This is going to be at the Ninth and Main congregation in San Angelo, Texas. And our Omari is a regular guest on Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine with Rick Popejoy, coming by way of California to Texas. And so it'll be Sunday at 9:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 5 p.m., and then weeknights at 7 p.m., again, September 18th through the 22nd. For more information on that, just give them a call, 325-653-4642. All right, Clint, what do you have?
Also, coming up, Searching for the Scripture Forms. This will be September 19th, 2021, from 7 p.m. each night on the Broadway Church of Christ in Tyler. For more information, please call 903-561-9560.
All right, and that also is going to be broadcast live here on the Gospel Radio Network. So if you're not able to make it down, you can tune in here, as we'll be broadcasting that. Then, September the 27th, the Great Debate 2016. It'll be a debate between atheist Alexander Rosenberg and Christian Ralph Gilmore. It's going to take place at the Mershon Auditorium at the Ohio State University there in Columbus, Ohio, beginning at 6:30 p.m. And then you can get more information and reserve a seat by going to thegreatdebate16.com. Again, that's September the 27th. And, Clint, I think you have a Ladies' Day over there, right?
Yes, sir. Ladies' Day coming up October 1st from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Fill My Cup with Carla Sparks. This is going to be at the Edgewood Church of Christ. Register in advance by September 27th. To please call 214-563-6825 or 940-839-7383 for more information.
Also, September the 28th, we are going to have the Gospel Radio Network. We're going to be set up at the Titus County Fair. We'll have a booth there in the Civic Center alongside with the brethren from North Jefferson Church of Christ, side by side there. And we look forward to you coming by and visiting with us, and hope to see you then. That's going to be on from 5 to 9 p.m. on Wednesday, and then it's going to be Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. So we look forward to seeing you at the Titus County Fair if you can make it out there to visit with us in person for the Gospel Radio Network.
Also, got coming up the Church of Christ full gospel meeting at the New Boston Church of Christ with Mike Price, October 1st through 5th, 2016. For more information, please call 903-628-2891. That's 903-628-2891.
And then, ladies, you have another opportunity, Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat, October the 6th through the 8th at the Heart of Texas Bible Camp there in Brady, Texas. And I believe the registration deadline has passed, but there may still be room. So go to TexasLadiesInChrist.org for more information, or give them a call, 325-600-4143. And then also, we have a Ladies' Day for you at the North Jefferson Church of Christ. It originally had been scheduled for November the 5th, but that was a conflict with the Gospel Radio Network lectureship and supporters banquet. So the brethren over there graciously changed the date. And so make sure that you show up October the 22nd for the 13th Annual Ladies' Day. They're going to have Holly McCormick, Living Without Fear in the Current Culture. And that is at the North Jefferson Church Christ there in Mount Pleasant, Texas. Well, that's what we have on the bulletin board. Don't forget about the Gospel Radio Network lectureship that will take place November 5th and 6th, though. We hope that you can make it this way. But if not, it will, as it has in the past, be broadcast live here on the network. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to continue our study through the New Testament with Colossians chapter 3. So we hope that you have your Bibles and a pen handy, and stay with us. We will be back.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Shining throne on high, comes to watch me wear.
Welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm your host, Richard Rutledge, joined by Clint Tidwell this morning in studio. And so we're glad that you've also joined us as we continue our study. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 this morning, and we're going to go through this chapter, Lord willing, and be able to glean from it a few things. Clint, let's start out with those first four verses of Colossians chapter 3.
All right. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your own life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
All right, so we've got this basically if-then statement. If you are this, then, if you then be risen. Since would be a good word here. Since you are risen with Christ, and, you know, we are risen with Christ when we have obeyed the gospel. Paul has already mentioned this in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. The same thing we see in Romans 6, 3 through 4 also is here. And so he says, you have done this thing. You have been raised with Christ. And if you're raised with Christ, since you're raised with Christ, then seek those things which are above. Mind the same things. As Paul would say in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you. We're going to seek those things which are above. We're going to have a desire for that, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Then we're going to set our desires, our affections, on things above and not on things of the earth. 1 John chapter 2 comes to mind there in verses 15 and following. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And James reminds us in James chapter 4 and verse number 4 that desire to be friendship, to have friendship with the world, puts us at enmity with God. And if we're friends with the world, we're enemies of God. And so we're not setting our affections on these earthly and worldly things. Our desire is for something better. Even as Paul would point out in Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 8, after he talks about this idea of, that we have someone who's near, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, let your gentleness be made known to all men, the Lord is at hand. But then he says, after you have petitioned God in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving and letting your requests be made known to him, the peace of God is going to keep your hearts and souls. But then he says, think on these things. Fill your mind up with those things which are good. So we're going to set our minds to doing good things and thinking on good things. Why? Because you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. That old man is done away with. In Galatians 2 and 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said it's not him who's living, because that old man is dead. The death, burial, and resurrection took place, as we refer back once again to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And Paul would say in Philippians 1 and 21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So since we have been risen with Christ, we are setting our affection on things above. Because we are dead, this old man's dead, and our life is hidden Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's what we're looking forward to. When Christ, who is our life, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me comes to the Father except by me. He is the one who has the words of life. Peter would state this after being asked, will you also go away? In John chapter 6, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And he's the one who came to give life. John 10 and verse 10. For the thief comes not to kill and to steal and destroy, but he said, I've come to give life and that they may have it more abundantly. So he is our life. And when he shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. We're looking forward to that time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, where Paul talks about that great reunion and how the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's going to be the time where we appear with him in glory. So since that's the case, that we have been risen with him, we are setting our desires on things above. We are individuals who have been dead to this world because our life is in Christ and hidden in Christ. So we look forward to that. Back in Philippians chapter 3, he talks about, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for that moment. And what's going to happen? Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things, even to himself. And since that's the case, then he says, here's what you must do. Verses 5 through 9. Why don't you read those for us, Clint?
Therefore put to death your members which are of earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds.
All right, he tells us now there are some things that we're going to put to death in our life. Mortify your members. Necro. That idea to make dead is what he's talking about here. So to make dead these things, what things are we going to mortify or to kill off in our bodies, these unclean things? Well, fornication. Porneia, same word that is mentioned, sexual intercourse, and that is mentioned by Jesus in Matthew chapter 19. Except it be for fornication, the only reason for divorce. The works of the flesh, Matthew or Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, porneia, fornication, one of those. That's not going to be named among the Christian. Uncleanness, this moral degradation and uncleanness that he's speaking of here, that he says we are to do away with. As also we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness and work all uncleanliness with greediness. Mortify that. Inordinate affections. This is an affection and a desire that is against God. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 26, when we look at how in the book of Romans it spirals completely out of control when they have removed the restraints of God upon mankind. He says, for this cause God gave them up to their vile affections, and even their women did change the natural use to that which was against nature. Vile affections is what it's called there. Inordinate affections here. Evil concupiscence there in that follows. The New King James gives us the idea of passion. Easier to say for sure, but the idea of it is when we look at that, it is a longing, a desiring, and a lusting. Put that away. Covetousness, which is idolatry, is what he says here. So we're to put away this covetousness. And I think it's so interesting that it refers to it as that which is becomes an idol. Because for so many, this desire for wealth and riches can become that which is your idol. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes saints. Because the warning is given by Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6 when he warned against the dangers of the dangers of the desire for riches, that some have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But he continues, verse 17 of that same chapter, that it's not wrong to be rich, because he says, charge those who are rich with this world's goods, not to be high-minded nor trust in the uncertainty of riches, but in the living God. So trust in God and not in the riches. Verse 6, he says, God's wrath is upon the children of disobedience. You know, gospel warns of these things over and over. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, that there's going to be a time when God's wrath will be poured out in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important to that people hear the gospel, the power of God to save men from such things. So the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. And he says, in which you also walked, in which time, verse number 7, in times past, you lived in them. This is the way that you used to be, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We walked in such things, but not any longer. We've changed. That brings to mind what Paul tells the brethren in 1 Corinthians, and there in verses 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's what they used to be. And he says here, you used to do this. But now, verse 8, this is what you are. But now you also put off these things. Put off anger and wrath and malice. And they all sort of increase as it begins. You know, this anger. And now we're getting to the wrath, where, you know, the emotion and the overriding zeal to do wrong, malice, which is coming about. And then blasphemy, this evil speaking, is it's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, translated. Put this away, these railing against one another, and filthy communication. There are some things that should not come out of a Christian's mouth. And he says, lie not one to another. Don't lie. Why? Because you become a child of your father, the father of lies, when you begin to lie. I mean, the deceiver, the devil, was a liar from the beginning. John 8 in verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie. He speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so we do not lie one to another, but instead we put off the old man with his deeds. We have cast away this old, dirty garment. We have taken it off and never to put it on again. Instead, what do? We put on the new clothing, a new man in Christ. And yeah, we know that if we go out and we're grummy and, you know, dirty and a greasy and all of that, you go in, you get cleaned up, you put on some nice clothes, and you go take your wife out to supper, you don't go back out and put that old greasy shop coat back on. Why would we try to do such here? And so he points out in verses 10 through 17 the things we are to do. We're not to do these things because we're putting them off. But we have this now idea of putting off and putting on. And this is, people, you know, have used this to try to overcome addictions. It's good to quit. But if you don't fill it up with something good, it's not good enough because you'll go back. Jesus said, you know, if the man had the unclean spirit, it's cast out, but he doesn't fill it back up. The house isn't filled back up. The spirit returns and brings his buddies with him. So we have to fill our lives back up, put off the old man, but now let's be clothed with a new. Let's, Clint, if you would, read verses 10 through 17.
And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as you select of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
All right, let's go back up there and notice a few things that he points out. Since we've done this, we've put off the old man. Now we're going to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. So this new man is recreated and made new in the image of God who created him. That's this new birth that's going to take place. I have it here, this chapter divided up, Clint. I have the goal. Our goal is verses 1 through 4. Our removal in order to accomplish that goal. We've got to take this stuff off and get rid of it, verses 5 through 9. And now the replacement takes place. And in this replacement, we have something that is new, a new man. Well, this is a new man living a new life by means of a new birth, John chapter 3, verses 1 and following. And because of that, he's a new creature, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. We follow a new way, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20. We wear a new name, Isaiah 62, verse 2, that new name that we see where the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And so we have, you know, new friends, Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and following. We're putting to death these old things, this old way of life. We have a new mission, verses 10 through 14. We're going to strive to have these things in our life. And we have new worship that we see, Colossians 3 and verse 16, a simplicity and the beauty of this new worship where we're going to sing these songs and hymns to God without this accompaniment of instruments. And so here's this man. This is the new man enjoying the new birth and the new life in Christ. And in it, there this new family is not a divided family, not a splintered family. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, nor barbarian or Scythian, nor bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all. That's what there is. You know, the gospel, Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and the salvation of everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The fact is that he said that I'm a debtor both to the wise and to the unwise. You know, he was a debtor to all men, to Greeks and to barbarians, to wise, the unwise. And so there is no distinction. The gospel is for all, and all can be one in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and following, when he says that we are all sons by faith in Christ Jesus, is what we are. Verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither, therefore, Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And so now, here this new man that we put on, this new creation, enjoying a new life with a new family, the family of God, I'm going to put on new things. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Here are some of the things that we're going to have in our life. We're going to have mercy that we're going to extend to folks. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It is the fact that we are going to be a merciful group of people. We're going to have kindness. Oh, we just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the fact that love suffers long and is kind. Titus 3 and verse 4, the kindness of and love of God our Savior. We are to be a people exceedingly rich in kindness, as God is. Ephesians 2 and verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ. We're to have this humbleness of mind, humility. We esteem others better than ourselves, Philippians 2, 1 through 8. It is the idea that we humble ourselves before God so that he can lift us up, James 4 and verse 10. We're to have this meekness in our lives as well. Blessed are the meek, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, and they shall inherit the earth. And Jesus spoke even of himself as being meek in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, where his burdens were light, and he was the meek. So then he concludes also there that we are to be long-suffering, suffer long with one another, forbearing one another, verse 13, and forgiving one another. Forbearing and forgiving. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you and also do you. We are to be forgiving, ready to forgive as Christ forgave us. And when Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6, part of the prayer was, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And with all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, the glue that holds everything together, basically. That's what that idea of that word is. When he says put on the love, this charity, that is the bond, the super glue that holds it together, that completes it all. And that's what we are to do, the bond of perfection. So then we are to let the peace of God, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, we are to keep in our hearts and minds. And let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse number 9 and verse number 11. How shall the young man secure his way or cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word. Thy word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Let the word of Christ dwell in us, in you richly, in all wisdom. And then what do we do? Well, here's what we do. We are teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We are to teach and encourage and sing in our hearts to the Lord. When we sing to the Lord, and that's who we're doing, we're singing as well to the Lord, but in the same time, we're teaching and admonishing one another. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by him. He tells us here even to sing. Well, then now we get into what's called the household codes, as it deals with the person's house. It's found here in the book of Colossians, as well as in the book of Ephesians. We're going to notice what it says here. Let's notice what it says about husbands and wives in verses 18 and 19 now, Clint.
Wives, submit to your own husband, as is filtering in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not put bitter toward them.
All right, he basically sums it up pretty easily. Wives, submit unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. So we are, the wives here, are to submit to not all men. That's not what he's talking about. But wives are to be submissive to their own husbands. He had already addressed this in our study in Ephesians chapter 5, where he tells there in verse number 22 concerning the church and using to illustrate it the role of husband and wives. Wives, submit to yourselves as to unto your own husband as unto the Lord. So as is fitting in the Lord and as though you're submitting to the Lord. And, you know, we go all the way back where Jesus went when asked a question about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. And when God had designated that it was not good for man to be alone, he created woman. And Adam, verse 23, said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his own wife, and they shall be one flesh." And so wives are to submit to their husbands. The wife, the glory of man, Paul would say to the church at Corinth. And so husbands then in turn are to love their wives and do not be bitter against them. Love them. This is the agape love that he is bringing forth here. It's the love that God has demonstrated towards us, John chapter 3 and verse number 16. Husbands, love your wives in this way. Willing to die for them, Ephesians chapter 5, just as Christ died for his bride. And do not be bitter against them, but instead have tenderness. So he tells the husbands how to love their wives. But then it addresses not only the mother and father in the household, but now the children and parent aspect as well. Notice verses 20 and 21 now.
Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged.
So, the first thing he addresses now is children. Children, obey your parents in all things. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that you may that it may be well with you, and that you may live long upon the earth. So he basically is stating the same thing. Children must be, and heaven expects obedience from the children, just as heaven expects obedience from his children, God does. Jesus in Luke 6, verse 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? John 14 and verse 15, if we love him, he stated that we would keep his commandments, and he has given us the ultimate example. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And so fathers now, he says, children, yes, you obey your parents, but fathers, do not provoke your children to anger unless they be discouraged. He is the one who leads the family, who is the head of the family, but do not provoke them to wrath or to anger lest they be discouraged. Again, we go back to what Paul stated concerning this already in the book of Ephesians. And there in Ephesians chapter 6, he tells the fathers, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 then, the idea that a father is teaching the word of God and instilling and ingraining within the child a desire for it. They see this in the lives of the father who is putting God first and teaching and instructing positively and correctively so that they do not become discouraged. There is the role and the responsibility that the father has. And then it goes from verse 22 through the end of the chapter. Actually, it goes into chapter 4, verse 1, addressing the servants or slaves and masters of a household, those relationships. And let's notice verses 22 through the end of the chapter now.
Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye servants as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do in heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for they serve the Lord Christ. But he who goes wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no particularity.
All right, he says here, and if we keep reading, we'll go ahead and drop down to verse chapter 4, verse 1, where he says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So he addresses servants and masters, even though this chapter break comes right in the middle of this discussion. So in chapter 3, we really only have the servant side of things. So he tells us, again, just as he told the children, children, obey your parents in all things. Servants, obey your masters in all things. There is always this authoritative pyramid. God's always at the top, and as long as the delegated authority that God has given out has not been violated, then we are to obey. Whether it's the government, which God has delegated authority to government, and as long as the government doesn't go against what God has told man to do or not to do, then we obey the government. But when the government says things that are contrary, sort of as we see in Acts chapter 5, who should we obey, God or man? We always obey God rather than man. And so, you know, the same is also true with husbands, wives, with parents and children, with slaves and masters. you obey in all things, and not with eye service, as men pleasers. You know, not when, oh, the boss is coming, we have to look busy. Not that. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, knowing that, you know what, I'm not working for that fellow who writes his name at the bottom of my check. I'm going to work like I'm working for God. I'm his servant. I'm his slave. And he's the one who I will ultimately receive my inheritance from. Verse 24. And so I'm going to serve as I serve Christ. But he who does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, because there is no partiality or respect of persons with God. So he addresses the roles of servants here. Obey your masters and be the best workers that you could be. You would think that people in the workforce would desire to have Christians as their workers, because God commands us to be the best citizens and the best employees that a person could ask for. But we also, God tells us that a Christian boss ought to be the best boss, for masters are to give their servants that which is just and equal. So those household codes that end Colossians chapter 3. Well, we're glad that you've taken the time to be with us this morning as we've been able to study through Colossians chapter 3. Glad that Clint had the opportunity to join us in studio this morning. And we hope and pray that you'll continue to listen throughout the day as you have a host of opportunities. You'll have under just a little while Good News Today with Jim Dearman comes on at 11, followed by Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. And then you've got listening opportunities throughout the evening. Don't forget about those. With Russ Earl with A Closer Look tonight, is along with Richard Massey, where it's all about Jesus. And then the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible continues with Tom Moore and Frank Briscoe. If you want to check one out that's a great word study, don't forget Terms of Truth tonight at 7 p.m. with Bobby Burris. But always remember, Mornings for the Master here at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time from Mount Vernon, Texas. And we hope that you have a great and a blessed day.
You've been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.